Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have given your only Son to be for us a sacrifice for sin and also an example of godly life. Give us grace to receive thankfully the fruits of his redeeming work and to follow daily in the blessed steps of his most holy life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the first book of Kings. David slept with his ancestors and was buried in the city of David. The time that David reigned over Israel was 40 years. He reigned 7 years in Hebron and 33 years in Jerusalem. So Solomon sat on the throne of his father David, and his kingdom was firmly established. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David only. He sacrificed and offered incense at the high places. The king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the principal high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I should give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant, my father David, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you. And you have kept for him this great and steadfast love, and have given him a son to sit on his throne today. And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Although I am only a little child, I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of people whom you have chosen, a great people, so numerous they cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, able to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this, your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this. God said to him, "Because you have asked this, and have not asked for yourself long life or riches, or for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, I now do according to your word. Indeed, I give you a wise and discerning mind. No one like you has been before you, and no one like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor all your life. No other king shall compare with you. If you walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments, as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your life. The word of the Lord. The psalm appointed for this day is Psalm 111. We will read Psalm 111 in unison. Alleluia. I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright, in the congregation. Great are the deeds of the Lord. They are studied by all who delight in them. His work is full of majesty and splendor, and his righteousness endures forever. He makes his marvelous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He gives food to those who fear him. He is mindful of his covenant. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the lands of the nations. The works of his hands are faithfulness and justice. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever, because they are done in truth and equity. He sent redemption to his people. He commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Those who act accordingly have a good understanding. His praise endures forever.
A reading from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of the time, because the days are evil. Do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate, and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. When I was a little girl, every summer we would go to Salem, Connecticut, to an old camp house, and my cousins and I would play and play and play. Our favorite game was based on the story of Aladdin and the magic lamp. Do you know that story? We found an old lamp somewhere in some shelf, cupboard. So one of us would rub the lamp, and another one would jump out from out of the closet and say, "I am the great genie. I will grant you 3 wishes. And the question every year was, what would you wish for? I always spent a lot of time pondering and thinking and musing about that. What did I want more than anything else in the world? If I could have 1 wish or 2 or 3, what would they be? In the Old Testament reading for today, King David has finally died. He has reigned in Jerusalem for 40 years. His kingdom is united, it is healthy, it is successful, and his son Solomon assumes the throne to take his father's place as king. Solomon has everything that a king could want: a stable, good kingdom, wealth and riches, people, who adore him and want to follow him. Solomon is very devout, and he worships God regularly, making sacrifices in the temple. So God comes to Solomon and says, I will give you something. One thing. I will give you one thing that you desire. It could be anything. What do you want? What would your answer be to that question? Do you know? Do you know? Somebody knows. I can hear something. Solomon asks for one thing, and it is very profound what he asks for. He asks for wisdom, but the word for wisdom in the ancient Hebrew means to see, to perceive. Solomon wants to be able to look out at the world and to be able to discern the good from the bad. He wants to be able to understand the difference between light and darkness. He wants to really see. You see, for the ancient Hebrews, wisdom doesn't have to do with what you know, with facts that you could learn and stick in your brain. It has to do with how you look at the world. And that's what Solomon wanted more than anything. He wanted to be awake and to be able to see. At the age of 3, Michael May was blinded in a chemical explosion. He lost all of his sight. Growing up, he was determined that despite the fact that he was blind, he would not lead the life of a cripple. He got a college degree. He started his own business and was very successful. He got married and had 2 little boys, and just to prove that he could do it, he became the fastest blind downhill skier in the world. When I read that, I wondered to myself, though, were there any other blind downhill skiers? Nevertheless, he was courageous and he lived his life to the fullest. And 43 years after he was blinded, doctors came up with a medical procedure that they believed would restore his sight completely. Even though he was successful and happy as a blind man, Michael decided to undergo the surgery. This was such a momentous event that researchers decided they wanted to film him as they took the bandages off of his eyes. And they were going to have his 2 little boys walk towards him, and he would see their faces for the first time in his life. He would look upon the faces of his own children. Everyone expected that this moment would be beautiful, heart-wrenching. They took off the bandages from around his head, and his sons began to walk towards him, and they had their faces were beaming. But Michael looked totally lost. He was trying to force himself to smile, but he looked confused, even terrified. They later realized that although his eyes were working, his brain had no idea what to do with all of the images that it was receiving, with the light and the angles. He was absolutely overwhelmed, and although he could see, he had no vision. He could make no sense of what he was looking at. For Michael, when you felt two walls, they always seemed to go out in straight lines. But when his eyes opened and he could see, he saw that they seemed to converge in the distance. It took him months to be able to process his own sight. You know, the human brain is fascinating. When we think that we know something, we will not really look at it anymore. Our brain assumes we've seen it before. It's only when things change or adapt or surprise us that we will register them again. So you could be looking at your loved ones, but not really seeing them. And especially when your life is comfortable and predictable, it is very easy to fall asleep and stop seeing what God is doing. Your eyes may be open, but you may not really see. We've been reading The Great Divorce on Sunday mornings by C.S. Lewis. It is a story about some souls that go from hell up to heaven. There is a man who arrives in heaven as a ghostly figure. All of his life, he believed that he was not treated well, that no one appreciated him. No one really understood his genius. He was upset that his father would not continue to fund his genius and stop giving him money. So one day, realizing how underappreciated he was, he stepped in front of a subway train. He goes up to heaven to see what it's like, and he sees another man that he knew in life, and this man had murdered someone, and yet the man was a figure of great light in heaven. This ghostly figure says, "How are you here? You murdered. You're a murderer." And the man said, "Yes, I did. And I've begged God for forgiveness, and God has forgiven me. And God can forgive you too." "What does God need to forgive me for? I haven't done anything wrong. It's people that have done stuff to me my whole life. Nobody appreciates me. Nobody knows my genius, my wisdom. I don't need to stay up here and listen to this. I'm going back on the bus." And he goes right back down to hell. In fact, he says he didn't believe it was heaven anyway. There he was, standing in front of a redeemed soul, with God welcoming him into heaven, and he could not see. He could not see because all he saw was what he wanted to see. The way he thought his life worked, the way he thought people ought to treat him, and he held on to his own delusion rather than opening his mind up to God. There is a great saint who lived hundreds of years ago who said, "Don't seek God, see God. See God, open your eyes. God is at work all around you, all the time. But we get so busy and our lives become what we know and what we think we know, and we forget to really look. Jesus says that this altar will serve us the bread of life. It will serve us food that gives us eternal life. If we could really see and understand that gift, I think that there would be lines going out the door and down the street, people waiting to get their hands on some of that bread. Solomon asked for one thing: to be able to see, to have his eyes opened, to see the good things and the bad things, to see what God is doing in the world. You know, sometimes I wonder if there could be angels and archangels flying around right in front of our eyes, but we just don't see them because we haven't really looked. So what would you wish for? If God asked you, what would you ask for?
Let us stand and reaffirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, you have promised to hear what we ask in the name of your Son. Accept and fulfill our petitions, we pray, not as we ask in our ignorance, nor as we deserve in our sinfulness, but as you know and love us, in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart, and we have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ,
have mercy
on us and forgive us.
Walk in your ways.
Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Good morning, my friends. Welcome to the cathedral. So glad you're here today. If you're new or visiting, we have a little card in your pew, and you can fill that out, and we'll send you our e-newsletter. We're so glad you're here. Next Sunday, we begin to gear up for the fall with Rally Day. Rally Day is a ministries fair that takes place between the 8 and the 10:30 services and after the 10:30 service. There'll be all kinds of ministry displays, and you can meet leaders and sign up for things. Kids can register for Sunday school and youth group. There'll be a bouncy house for the kids and face painting and hot dogs and cotton candy. It's generally a great thing. So come next Sunday and enjoy Rally Day with us. A couple of announcements today. The Bloodmobile is here and is parked outside of the front door on Market Street. If you are able physically to give blood, I do encourage you to do that. We will have a youth lock-in this coming weekend, and you can see more about that in our bulletin. We're also offering trainings for acolytes, lectors, and Eucharistic ministers this Wednesday and Saturday, so see the bulletin for more information on that. Our beloved Barbara Curry, who was a member of the cathedral for 51 years, died last night, and we will miss her terribly, but she was ready to go and see the Lord. You'll hear more about her memorial service in the next few days. And our Hazel Dennis, who is 94, is at home, can't come to church anymore, but receives communion regularly. So Monica has made a beautiful, huge poster card for her birthday. And if you all would go to coffee hour and just sign your name, even if you don't know her, we thought we'd bring that with communion, and it'll just make her day. So a big, big birthday card. And last but very much not least, many of you know that our cathedral foundation runs these big high-rises around us. There are 600 apartments full of elderly people who are on low income or below that live in those apartments, and they are often lonely. And the cathedral foundation has agreed to fund a position for a part-time priest to serve the residences on behalf of the cathedral. And we are very blessed to have Doug Hodson, who has retired as being the rector of Good Shepherd Church, who is going to serve as our chaplain to the residences. Doug, would you stand up so people can see you? We're very blessed to have you join us. I'm just honored to have him as a colleague. He's a wonderful and very experienced priest, and please introduce yourselves to him after the service. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive."
Behold, our Lord, Savior, Lord, Savior.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. For in your Son, Jesus, you have given us true food and true drink from heaven. As he lives in you, O gracious Father, so we live in him, and through the grace and sustenance of his body and blood. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love you made us for yourself, and when we had fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ. By him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Please join me in sending forth our Eucharistic visitor. In the name of St. John's Cathedral, I send you forth bearing these holy gifts, that those to whom you may go may share with us the communion of Christ's body and blood. We who are many are one body, because we all share one bread, one cup. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with a singleness of heart. Through Christ our Lord. May Almighty God fill you with courage, wisdom, and joy. May Jesus Christ, your strong companion and never-failing friend, make you strong in faith and defend you on every side. May the Holy Spirit guide you in truth and peace. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, rest upon you this day and forevermore.